up here before they go back to classroom this morning because, come on, Whistlebritzy, she says she wants to. It's so tempting. But we just want to come up here, church, so that we can see them, so that you and I can see what God can do in honest, true heart children. They just get what we give. They just receive what God has for them, and we could learn a lesson. So anyway, before they go back to class to learn about Jesus, because that's what you're going to do whether you like it or not. You love it. So before we go back to class, church, would you pray with me as we ask God to bless and touch these classrooms? Almighty God. Whoa. So let's bow our head. Let's close our eyes. Let's pull our hats off. Almighty God, creator of the universe, we just ask for your blessing this morning as we share our children with you. As we give them into your presence in these classrooms, we ask that you touch those teachers and you open up these children's hearts that they can see the true you, that they can feel a molecule of faith, that they can trust your word. So, Father, thank you for this time and this place, these men and these women who will teach, and these children who are so willing to grasp. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, on his authority, amen. All right, and now, all the way to the back. And get a donut on the way by. What?
No more donut.
No more donut? Are you just saying that?
Maybe.
Maybe? Do you maybe, look, I don't know. I do know. So, I got to tell you, it's a great time to be in this church. Not just because it's air conditioned, but because God's doing something. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hello? Breaker 19. Come in, Red Rider. Yeah, different deal right there. So, but what I know is God's doing something, not just in me, not just in you, but in this world. God is alive and well and active, and he is doing his will in this place, in Kaufman County, in this community, and in this church, and he's using us to do that. But last week I was out in the panhandle, And I've been trying to be obedient to God and his word. And so in my study, I've been in this place where I am struggling to be who God called me to be. And so I get to preach to me. And then when I preach to me, you hear it. And then people will say, "Dude, you're preaching to me." And I say, "No, I'm preaching to me." But blah, blah, blah. The reality is, so I've been struggling with this. And this woman, she gave a little testimony, and I want to share that with you. See, what she said that morning was that she was a godly woman, and she was I don't know if she was a widow or divorced, but she had a young son, and she was praying that God would bring a godly man into her life. And so she met a man, and he said he was a believer, but he was just kind of coming and going a little bit. And she went to church in town all the time, to a nice little old church that she really enjoyed. She took her son, but he didn't go. They got married, and so her life of faith was different from his life. So her Sunday and her faith was something much different than his. And she kept praying, and she asked the church to pray that God would work on him, would make him a godly man and raise him up to be a godly man and be a godly leader and be a godly father to her young son and a godly husband to her. And so what happened was cowboy church. And so this fella, he moves, they have a cowboy church out there. And so he goes to the cowboy church and he says, "Come on with me." And she said, "Well, I'm going over here to this church and it's real nice, but I'll make time to come with you." So she goes with him a time or two. He digs it. He's loving it. She's all the time praying, God, bring me a godly man, a godly leader, a godly husband, a godly father. And he said, I really like this cowboy church. And she said, that's great. You go there and I'll go here. And so she was going here. And she kept praying, God, raise him up. And so he kept growing in his faith in this church. And it suited him. And her church suited her. She felt like she was doing some great things in that church. It's just a little old one-horse church also, just like the cowboy church was. And so she felt like she was doing great things there. That's where God had called her to be. But her prayer was that God would lead a godly man into her life and lead her. And so he shows up. Are you hearing me? He shows up. God's answering her prayers, and she's fighting him the whole time. Her testimony is she finally heard God say, honey, I can't lead you to someplace you already are. She was standing in her church asking God to make some changes and affect her, and she wasn't recognizing God was calling her to that cowboy church. Years later, today, they serve and they blossom and they've grown in this church. It's been the greatest thing ever happened to her. She realized God answered her prayers because of all of the circumstances that happened. And she couldn't be led to some place where she already was. She was at her where she felt like she wanted to be. She was doing the things she wanted to do. She felt like it was good enough for God. And then all the time praying, God, do this for me. And when God did it, she couldn't recognize it. I don't know your story, and I'm not sure I know all of her story, but I know my story. And the truth is you and I aren't going to be led anywhere if we don't move our dang feet. Sometimes this involves something that we just don't recognize. So if God calls me to Zimbabwe to be a midwife, I'll go. But it'll have to be a big deal, like in the clouds thing. But God, if he's calling me there, I'm going to be obedient to do it, because I know today that God's will is the best place to be. Regardless. And what I want to know is how do we express that to me and you? Because we live in a life and in a culture where pretty much we do what we want to do and ask God to bless it. We're not so big on well, Lord, help me, lead me, guide me. Just make it easier for me to do what I'm doing right now, because that's what I really like. And so we don't go out of our way. One of the biggest lies the devil ever throws at us is that God's going to make it super easy for you to be you. But you know, the truth is, it's hard for you to be you, me to be me, because God has called us into something. Oh, you might be serving in a place right now, but if God's moving and calling and asking you to move your feet somewhere, why are you and I still fighting it all the time? Because we want to do what we want to do. We want to hold on to our ideas, our routines, our plans. And then it's hard for us to see what God is calling us to or even from. And so this verse that I've been battling in my brain for the last few weeks is in John chapter 5. If you ain't got a Bible, raise your hand up. We got a ton of them. And in John chapter 5 on page 813 in this Bible. Rosie, it's so important that you're reading this, not just believing me. I'm going to try to steer you straight, but you need a dang Bible. You need a Bible you can mark in, make note in, highlight in, circle in, put all kinds of, if you want to color in it. You need a Bible. It's super important. We got a ton of them, so get you one. And in this Bible on page 813, there's this verse in John chapter 5. The Apostle John wrote this. And this is Jesus talking. And in 5:31, I'm going to start. And I just got to tell you, if it feels like this ain't connected, I don't know what to say. In my brain, this is God was answering my prayers. God was leading me. And I want to be obedient to follow. So in 5:31, here's what Jesus said. And he's talking about he's been in trouble. All the the leaders of religion of the day have been calling him out. They've been saying, hey, oh, Jesus, you're off the boat. You can't be calling yourself God. We can't see that deal, right? So 5 and 31, Jesus finally looks at him and he says, if I were to testify on my own behalf, my testimony would not be valid. He said, I can't just tell you about me because I'm me. But someone else is also testifying about me. And I assure you that everything he says about me is true. In fact, you even sent investigators to listen to John the Baptist, and his testimony about me is true. Jesus is saying they know John. They killed John the Baptist too. But they all know him. They were going out to him. And he says, of course, I got no need of any human witnesses, but I say these things so that you might be saved, because God loves everybody. And he wants everybody to recognize the same thing. He said, John was like a burning and shining lamp, and you were excited for a little while about his message, but I have a greater witness than John. This is Jesus talking to people face to face. He said, I've got a greater witness than John. My teachings and my miracles. Jesus literally fed, healed, touched, and changed people in their witness. They saw these things happen. They were present when Jesus did these things. They heard his teaching. He said, this ought to be a good witness. He said, the Father gave me these works to accomplish, and they prove that he sent me. He said, I'm doing this because God gave me this ability. And the Father who sent me has testified about me himself. Oh, you've never heard his voice or seen him face to face, and you don't have his message in your hearts. Because you don't believe me, the one that he sent to you. That's kind of a kick in the face to these guys. Maybe that's a little kick in the face to some of us. You don't believe me because you don't have the message in your heart. You don't believe the one that he sent. You don't believe Jesus. You have doubts. We struggle with who Jesus is, but the Holy Spirit testifies to Jesus. The things he did testify to Jesus. People, witnesses, testify to Jesus. But here we struggle. How many of us don't believe George Washington was a real president of the United States? None of us met him. But we don't have any doubt about old George. Same is true for Jesus. But here's what I got to say. We got this hard truth that we've got to face about Jesus, our Savior. He requires us to believe in him. And he's not saying that we just believe like half-heartedly. He's talking about believe in Jesus like we believe in gravity. That's belief. How many of us would jump off here thinking that gravity might be different today? Zero. How many of us do things in this world thinking that just because I ain't seen God just literally blow somebody up for a sin, we think it's different for us? I'm just saying, we struggle. So in verse 39, here's what Jesus says. He says, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scripture points to me. Yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life, this eternal life. He said, you search the scriptures, you study, you work at it, you can read and you memorize, and you go through all the books. They didn't have the New Testament, they just had the Old Testament. You search the scriptures to find life and to find truth, but you miss me. And they were talking about, we read the Old Testament, we read the law, and we find out what we ought to be doing. You and I are supposed to see this today and find out who we're supposed to be following. They search the scriptures to find out what to do. You and I already know what to do. Follow. We search the scripture for some more rules because it's easier for you and I to follow rules than to follow Jesus. Because he might call you to Zimbabwe. He might call you to do something uncomfortable, something that you don't really feel like maybe is your gift, maybe a place where you want to go, something that you'd like to, oh, Lord, bless me by giving me the things I'd like to do and the things I'd like to have and the ministry I'd like to have And God's calling all of us to move our feet and to go someplace, to do something. It might be your family. That might be your ministry. It might be your community. It might be your school. It might be your work. It might be in your state. But it might be someplace else. But we got to be courageous enough to follow that, right? To know that all of this scripture that you and I have in our hand points to Jesus. And he says, follow me. Like he's the leader. Like, don't get out in front of me, but follow me. Go where I go. Do what I do. Teach what I teach. Use your gift like I use my gift. That's all Jesus says. It's pretty plain, pretty straightforward. See, the truth is, we've got evidence in here. In Matthew, trot back to your left to Matthew, the beginning of Matthew. I'm going to go back to page 734. These leaders, these people who are supposed to lead the faithful to God, they missed Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 2, and in the first verse, it says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of Herod. And about that time, these wise men from the east arrived. And they said, where's this newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star rise up and we've come to worship him. So Herod, he was disturbed because he's the king. He don't want no other king around. He said, and everybody else in Jerusalem was too. So he called a meeting of the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. And he said, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? They said, through scripture, we know it's supposed to be in Bethlehem. So you know what the brilliant religious leaders, the people who know God did, they told the wise men, go to Bethlehem, that's where he is. How many of the religious leaders went to Bethlehem? None. None. They searched the scriptures. They were people who know. They're the you and I who are saved, who are close to God. We'll tell people, go to Bethlehem. But how many of us would go to Bethlehem? Are you riding with me? See, it ain't enough that we know something. It's enough that we do something. The truth of doing says they didn't bother to go check it out. They didn't bother to go worship. They didn't bother to go see. And you and I do the very same thing. Go to church. We tell our friends. Do we pray with them? Do we give them anything of ours? Do we touch anybody in a real way? Or do we just tell them, I know where Jesus is. Go there and see if you can find him. That hurts me too. I hope it touches you. You and I need the Holy Spirit of God to reveal Jesus to us. He's not just in the book. He's not just in the words. He's not just a thing for us to study and learn and understand. He is the living word, truth, very God himself. And you and I are supposed to come to him with a trust, a childlike faith that just knows he is on our side. He is for our good. But because we're so smart, because we've grown up with all of our religious brains, we'll tell people, Jesus is supposed to be born in Bethlehem. Go there. See what it's all about. But like those religious leaders, we don't move our feet. We just stay where we are. That hurts me a little bit. I hope it bothers you a little bit. And it's not just them. Jesus himself in John chapter 9. Talk to your right to John chapter 9. And in John chapter 9 and the 28th verse. Well, earlier in this little old story, Jesus had healed a man blind from birth. And in John chapter 9 and in the 28th verse, Jesus says this, John says this, they cursed this guy, the leaders did. They cursed him and they said, well, you are his disciples, Jesus' disciple. You're his disciple. But we are disciples of Moses. We've been studying the book. We know what we're all about. We're disciples of Moses, and you're the disciple of Jesus. See, we know God spoke to Moses, but we don't even know where this man comes from. And in 30, This guy said, well, that's weird. The man replied, he healed my eyes, and yet you don't know where he comes from. And we know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he's ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. And ever since the world began, no one has ever been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it. He couldn't have done it. You see, this blind man recognized Jesus. He saw something nobody else could see. The religious leaders, the smart people, the Christian people were missing it. Are you still riding with me? See, we'll do the same thing. We still talk about, oh, that was an awesome God thing. Like that could work for you, but it's not the normal everyday experience of God. And that's a lie. The normal everyday experience of God is to do miracles all the time, everywhere, any place he wants to. Just because he can. Because he loves. Because he cares. Because he's on our side. And we wake up every day wanting to do what we want to do instead of serve that king who has given us so much, who is only out for you and I, who only wants us to be loved and cared and better. Oh, he says in this world you will have trouble because it's a broken world, jacked up, messed up, sinful. You're going to have trouble. But take heart, he said, I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world and I got you because I'm God. This is the truth of all of this. See, what I want to ask is who are you following and where are you going? If the reality of this is if Jesus and the miracles that he's done and the whole scripture and Holy Spirit is not enough for you to believe, then what would cause you to believe? Certainly not another miracle. Remember Lazarus, the rich guy who went straight to hell? And then when he recognized he was in over his head, he couldn't get out, he said, oh, please, go send somebody to tell my brother so they don't have to go through the same fate. But Abraham said, oh, no, that won't help. If they don't believe Scripture, if they don't believe the Holy Spirit, if they don't believe the witness, nothing else is going to change their mind. So where are you? What are we doing? Who are we following? Where are we going? What are we trying to get to? How are we trying to finish this thing? Is there enough of it to convince us? Is there some place for you and I to stand up and say, but Jesus, and that change our life? Oh, not just change my story and how much money I give in that whiskey barrel to the church, but does it change my life? The way I touch, meet, greet, handle, manage, experience, love, live, learn. Does it change my life? Because you were saved 100% the moment you were saved. To be a Christian 100% of the time, not just on church on Sundays, but at work. And at home, and at school, and on the highway, and at the restaurant, and at the ball game, and everywhere we go, we're to be Christian. We're to be Jesus to somebody. Jesus. It is fun to say that. Anybody can do it. Jesus, like that. But here's the thing. Go back to John chapter 5. We got to get there. In 45. John chapter 5, verse 45 on page 814. Here's something that's pretty profound I want to say. Yet it isn't I who is going to accuse you before the Father, before God, Jesus said. Moses is going to accuse you. Yeah, Moses. See, these are the religious leaders that thought they knew something. They're following Moses. They said, Moses, we know God spoke to him. We'll follow him. And Jesus said, it ain't just me that's going to judge you and accuse you. It's Moses. It's the book. It's the words that he said. If you really believe Moses, you'd believe me because he wrote about me. The Bible points to Jesus. The whole point of the Bible is Jesus. The reason that we have this book is so that we see Jesus. And if we miss Jesus, we've missed the whole point of the book. The reality of that is that we're not called to follow rules. Christians are not called to follow the rules and obey the rules. It's easier for us. We would like for it to be that way. We would like to be able to just pay our fines. How many of us would take the classes to get a speeding ticket off of our record and then never look back again? I've speeded once or twice. But the reality is, we lack this world where we can just settle up and start brand new. We want to pay. That way we've done something. We've accomplished something. Now we can start right here. And Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. And his commands are to love, to give, to walk, to touch, to change, to affect, to help, to serve, to be. You and I wake up every day thinking what we want to do. And God wakes us up every day with a plan for our lives. A plan, something he has called us to do. And how many of us wake up every morning and think, Lord, where are you sending me today? I'll go. Zimbabwe or no. If you're calling, Lord, I'm following. Because that's what following is. Following is staying behind the leader who is always with me, who would never leave me nor forsake me, and go where he's going and do what he's doing. And all Jesus ever did was give. All he ever did was help. All he ever did was love. That's our example. That's who we are. We can't follow the rules. There's so many. In Romans, Paul says that the law was there to babysit us, to show us we can't win this thing. We can't do it. The law was our taskmaster. But now that faith has come, we've got Jesus. We get to start right here, not because we paid our fine, but because he paid our fine. We get to start today because Jesus gave it all so that I can start fresh every single day. And we can't just say that in words. That has to be something that happens in our heart. That has to be the truth of who we are. See, you and I have all the evidence that we need to know Jesus, to follow Jesus. In Luke chapter 24, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, chop back to your right to the end of Luke. There's this familiar passage in Luke chapter 24 and the 25th verse. Jesus, or these the boys, there's these guys headed home after Jesus had been crucified and buried. And they're going home mad. This whole Jesus thing didn't work out for us. We didn't know. We were followers. And so as they're going home, this guy shows up beside them. It was Jesus. They didn't know it. And so they're talking. And in 22, it says some women from our group were his followers. They was at the tomb, and they said, they came back with this amazing report. The body's missing. And they seen angels, said Jesus is alive. And some of our boys ran to see, and sure enough, the body was gone, just like the woman said. And then Jesus said to them in 25, you foolish people, you find it so hard to believe that all the prophets wrote in the scriptures. The book that you have in your hand. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? And then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus said, this book bears witness to me, the old and the new. Our purpose on Sunday is to come here and be strengthened by the reality and the truth of this, pointing us to Jesus, to who he is, what his calling on our life is, how we should move our hands and feet, where we should go. Oh, we get to invest some in ourselves. But God has called us to invest in others. 100% of us are called to invest in others, to give, to love, to grow. Is this book enough for us? So, who are you following? Yourself, your selfish desires, your personal needs, your wants? Or are you following Jesus, trusting that he's enough? That his will for you is good and pleasing? And that if you experience love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness in your life, it's because the God of creation has given it to you. Because he loves you and wants you to live all your days in this place, serving, standing, being. When the Apostle Peter met Jesus on the banks of that lake after they'd caught all those fish, and Jesus cooked breakfast for him that morning. And they were sitting there, and you can find this story in John. Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter said, "You know I do." Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" And it was freaking Peter out. "You know I love you, Lord. I'm your guy. That's who I am. In spite of my mess up, in spite of the things I've done and where I've been, you know I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And that last time he asked Peter, "Do you love me?" he finished it up with the words that you and I have all heard. "Then follow me. Then follow me." Our calling in this world is pretty simple and straightforward. To follow Jesus. And if Jesus loves and cares about everybody in the world, we don't have any other choice but to love and care about everybody else in this world. God's using you and I to affect our community and our family. There's a lot going on in the world that we can't touch, but we can affect where we live. We're called to here, to now, to stand. Pray with me. Lord, it's my prayer that you have taken Scripture, your words, and you have, while you have made it so clear in my mind where I failed you and how I struggled, and the witness of so many people in my life, that it's clear to me what you're saying to me as I read your Scripture. And I pray that as we together have studied your word and opened up and read the words that John said, that Peter said, that Matthew has said, that Paul has wrote, that we come to understand, Lord, that it is only you that this book is about. That the witness that the Holy Spirit gives us to you and the truth of all these words is enough to change us. Almighty God, King of kings and Lord of lords, creator of the universe, forgive us for our selfish ways. Allow us to move and to be who you've called us to be, to take the steps that you would have us to do, to go where you would have us to go, serve where you would have us to serve. Help me understand, Lord, and place other people above myself, to be truly happy, to be truly blessed, to be truly following you is to give all of me. It's exactly what you did. So, Lord, we will follow you. It's in your name, on your authority that we pray this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, bye bye. Oh, I will fly away. Just when I die, hallelujah.
hallelujah, by and by.
Yeah,
I'll.
Yes, I'll.
I'll fly away.
I'll fly away.